always, we'll begin with a word of prayer. 1 John chapter 2 is where we are. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, very thankful for another Lord's Day that you've given us. We're always grateful to be able to come together and to worship you in spirit and in truth, to do our very best to glorify your name. We pray that we'll succeed in doing that this morning and throughout this day. We pray that everything that we do and everything that is taught, it will be according to your word. And we know that when we do that, then indeed you are glorified. We pray, Heavenly Father, that our minds will be in the right place throughout these services. We'll be focused upon your word and spiritual things, that we'll leave behind the things of this world, the temporary cares that we have. We pray that our main focus will be on you. We continue to pray, Heavenly Father, for all of our sick and our shut-in, those who are struggling with new ailments that they're dealing with. We pray that you will be with them. We're thankful that you have answered our prayers with regard to those who have recently had surgeries and different tests performed. We're thankful for the good outcome of those things. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll continue to bless us here at Brown Street. Help us always to stand for the truth. We pray that we'll continue to be the kind of people that you would have us to be. We pray that you will help us to grow. We know that you add the increase, but we pray for the courage ourselves and the conviction to spread the gospel to as many people as we can. We pray that you'll continue to be with Christians and with sound local churches throughout the world. We pray that their light will shine and that they'll lead people to you and to your son, Jesus, before it's too late. We praise you. We honor you as our God and as the one who knows all things, can do all things, who has all power. And we are mindful of your greatness, and we just pray that we'll always give you the reverence you deserve. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Okay, 1 John in the second chapter. So we've gotten down to about verse 7. We got into that little section last week towards the end. You know that, again, we're dealing with different things that might be referred to as tests of our genuine Christianity, that we need to make sure that we aren't imposters, that we are what we think we are and what we claim to be. And so there's the different tests he gives. And throughout this particular first epistle of his, we saw the first one was very simple. In fact, they're all really simple. The first one was obedience, keeping the commandments of God. At the end of the day, we're not keeping the commandments of God. We're not Christians. We're not who we think we are. And so we have to make sure that we're doing that. Fortunately, God has given us his word. His commandments are commandments that are hard to understand. Most of them we can do pretty easily, actually. There are some commandments, of course, that are harder than others. There are a few commandments that he gives that are very difficult. But we have to comply to everything that he tells us to do. We have to follow the book. And if we don't do that, then again, it doesn't matter how often we attend a service like this. It doesn't matter what we do in our own homes. If we're not keeping the commandments of God, we're not genuine Christians. We're not faithful children of God. I suppose saying, really, as we have taught through the years, that just to talk about a genuine Christian doesn't make sense, does it? There aren't any other kind. Just either genuine or you're not. If you're not genuine, you're not a Christian. You're not really following Christ. So, but the point of it is we have to keep his commandments. Now, the second one that we just got into that is extremely important in a lot of different ways is the commandment to love. And so he begins at verse 7 talking about this old new commandment. He says, Beloved, I'm writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment, the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him. And
in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So as we saw last week, he doesn't state here specifically what the command is, but he does so over and over in this epistle. So we know that it is love that he is dealing with. And he said that it is an old commandment because of something that Christ himself emphasized to his new disciples from the beginning of his ministry. And then, of course, even going back into the Old Testament, we know that God's people have always been commanded to love. It's a new commandment with regard to the quality of the love, not with regard to time, but regard to quality. It's a new kind of love, a kind of love that the world had never seen before. We look, and let's just go back just quickly, and we'll go forward. But in John chapter 13, I think we read verse 34, I'm sure we did. But verse 35 is also important. So let's go back there, John chapter 13, and at verse 34, first of all, he says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." Now, here's what makes it new. "Just as I have loved you, you all are to love one another." And so we need to love each other the way Christ loved. And we know about his love. His love was unconditional. He loved even those who were persecuting him, ultimately those who crucified him. So we need to have that kind of unconditional love that Christ had, willing to love even our enemies. And that's the broader, the word throughout John's epistle is agape, and you know all about that. It's the higher love. It's not an emotional kind of love. It's not a love that demands anything in return. It is the most high love. And so that's the love under consideration. Throughout our study in John, love will keep coming up. He's known as the apostle of love. Which, by the way, it's interesting that this John himself proves that this is a love we can learn and implement. Like, maybe you're falling short in that area. You need to do something about that. And you can. And John's a witness of that. Because when you think about John and how he is described. Again, we call John the apostle of love, and that is because his epistles are full of it. He talked about it a lot. And yet he himself, you remember how John and his brother were first described? Yeah, they were fishermen. Sons of thunder. Sons of thunder. And most believe that's because of their personality. And there were things about them and about John, maybe a little hot-tempered and aggressive, sons of thunder. We know that they were interested in sitting at the right hand of Jesus and therefore interested in being in the highest, most important place in the kingdom. That kind of goes the opposite direction as love. Really, not a characteristic of love. There was one occasion, if you read in the Gospels, I think it's in the book of Luke, where Jesus entered into a city of Samaria, and they didn't receive Jesus. The Bible says because he was heading towards Jerusalem, so the people didn't receive him. And the response of John was, along with his brother, their response was, "Lord, do you want us to send fire down upon them?" they're asking, "Give us the ability to perform a miracle, and we'll send fire down upon these people who rejected you." And that doesn't sound like the apostle of love, does it? And so the point of it is, he grew into this. And that was true with all the apostles and their various characteristics. They were just men who had backgrounds like all of us, who had different characteristics, but they grew. And so can we. So maybe you haven't mastered love completely. Maybe you're even failing in that area. You can do something about it if you want to. And it begins with understanding how important it is that you do something about that. Because what John is teaching us is that, again, if we don't have love one for another, and generally, as we read about love in John's epistle, he is, at least in the context we are now, dealing with the love of brethren, loving other members of God's family. Now, a lot of times he uses the word love broader than that. And sometimes, even when he might use the word brother, we know by the context that he is dealing with love at large, dealing with our fellow man. And certainly in this dispensation, we are to love our fellow man, not just Christians, but non-Christians. But obviously, as members of the body of Christ, as people of the same spiritual family, we ought to have a special connection, an affection, an endearment for one another in Christ. And really, in the context of 1 John 2, he's dealing with loving brethren. And so, but listen to the rest of what Jesus says here in John 13. So we know the new love is to love even as he has loved. And then to emphasize the importance of this, verse 35 says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."